Well, indeed, on this day, we have many things that come to mind and many fondnesses and remembrances that fill our hearts. But we also, I think if we're honest about it, need to reckon with the fact that Mother's Day sometimes is one of the most difficult days of the year. Even though we warmly wish one another Happy Mother's Day and we are surrounded by the beauty of all the things that accompany this day, for many it represents the still tender place of loss, an absence that still is being adjusted to. But maybe even more challenging, for some it represents the fact that the ideal of motherhood has never been realized in their lives. Whether an individual has not had the instance of being a mother, or whether even in one's own life, family circumstances weren't picture perfect. But all of that being said, we come to a day like this hoping, I think, to grasp and lay claim to the depth and the richness of what this kind of day truly represents in terms of the kind of love, the depth of love, the expanse of love that we really do celebrate on this day. And maybe that's a love that's not confined to simply those who have had the biological or familial privilege of being mothers. Maybe what we're really celebrating, what makes Mother's Day so profound in so many of our hearts, is that it is the reflection of a love that is so similar to the love that we come to understand and know that has been given to us and shared with us by God's presence in our lives, made full and complete in Christ. So, on this Mother's Day, given that it covers a wide expanse of thoughts and circumstances, I want to share a passage that probably would not be considered the best Hallmark card depiction of Mother's Day, and is in some respects even somewhat challenging, but I hope that it also brings us to an understanding of the depth of love, the power of love, that we celebrate on a day like this. From the third chapter of the first book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at the 16th verse. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "My lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born." The other woman said, "No, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine." And so they argued before the king. The king said, "This one says, 'My son is alive and your son is dead,' while the other says, 'No, your son is dead and mine is alive.'" Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave this ruling: "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. May the Lord bless the reading, hearing, and consideration of God's word. Shall we pray? Lord, on this day of beauty and sentiment, let us remember the power of love. Let us come to an understanding of when that love is not only most needed, but when the conditions call for us to love in a way that sometimes seems beyond our human capacity. Help us to love even as you have loved us. Amen.
Okay, so it's Mother's Day,
and the preacher's talking about prostitutes and babies being cut in half. Great way to start a May morning, right? But here's the thing. Like I said a moment ago, I think what we are really celebrating here today, yes, it is robed in the familiarity of motherhood and the intimacy of motherhood and the fact that all of us, no matter what our circumstances are, have a mother. But I really do believe that what we celebrate and what we consider on a day like this is the particular depth of love, the particular expanse of love that we see in this account, and many others, of course, in the text in Scripture, and many that surround us in the living of our lives. So I make the point yet again, in order to be fully embraced in order to be fully invested in the celebration of, the love of, the depth of Mother's Day, it's not so much about the particularities of being a birth mother or a familial mother or a mother of culture or all of those things. No, it's about understanding the kind of love that we see here. Now, this is a story that most of us know, or at least are somewhat familiar with. In case you didn't realize, because he's not mentioned by name, the king that's being talked about here is Solomon. And of course, this is one example of the ways in which we celebrate the particular wisdom of Solomon. And so the story really, if we are honest, really ultimately is pointing us to the strength of the wisdom of the king, the wisdom of Solomon. But I want to depart from that for just a few minutes this morning and talk about these two women. First of all, can we be honest? Who was the comedian that said, what did she say? What did Joan Rivers say? Can we talk? Two prostitutes. Voiceless. Powerless. Truly living their lives in the shadows. And if you notice, the text says that they lived in the same house. What kind of house must that have been? We're talking about a Mother's Day story that takes place in a brothel. Now let's talk about the sons. Anybody want to take a guess as to whether or not the mothers even knew who the fathers of the sons were? Can you imagine what kind of social scorn that would have placed upon those two infants? Certainly the one that was yet still living, even the one that had died. What kind of future would they have had in store for them? I just want us to at least be familiar with, before we even get to the issue of Solomon issuing his decree of wisdom, I just want us to understand the surrounding circumstances of this story, this narrative, and maybe that can help us understand the particular power of love that we see in this story. So we have two women, prostitutes already, way off the social register, living in a brothel, already a place that was of no concern or consideration to all of the upright people in the community. Two children who were born, most assuredly out of wedlock, most probably without even a knowledge as to who their fathers were. And in this circumstance, as if though that were not enough, we lay on top of that the unimaginable tragedy of a child dying in the midst of being smothered by their mother inadvertently and unintentionally. And before we go any further, I want us to, before we lay upon that mother, you know, because in this story, she doesn't come off very well at all, and obviously she shouldn't, but I want us to understand that she's operating not from a place of selfishness. She's operating from a place of unimaginable grief, hurt, and loss. And I dare say to you that this is a woman who just didn't know what to do, and not knowing what to do turned into anger and resentment about what had been foisted upon her. Maybe she wasn't just angry and sad and sorrowful about the death of her child. Maybe she was also angry and sorrowful about her situation in life. And she would not be the first, nor would she be the last person to operate in grief in a way that defies comprehension. Here she is. So upset, so racked by grief, she switches the babies. And then she's willing, in the blindness of her grief, to allow the baby even to be destroyed if the wisdom of Solomon had not intervened. So I just want us to understand that this is not, boy, is this absolutely not a Hallmark card Mother's Day circumstance. But in this circumstance, what do we see? A woman who is powerless and by way of social convention is voiceless. A woman who has no sway or influence in the world around her, but she has love. She has the love of her child that she's going to convey in this very difficult moment. See, love, church, conveying love, sharing love, showing love, imparting love, when it's easy, is easy. You know, one of my very favorite theologians, certainly 20th century theologians, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, made a statement that I often use when I officiate weddings, and it sort of sounds jolting at first when you hear it, but it was in a letter that he'd written to two of his friends around the whole issue of marriage, and he says that it is not love, listen closely, it is not love that keeps you in a marriage, it is marriage that keeps you in love. And what he was saying by that was this. And what he meant by love is oftentimes when we equate love with the idea of the beautiful and the sentimental and the sweet smelling and the sweet looking situations, it's easy to love then. But sometimes there come places and circumstances in our lives that are not easy, that are not comfortable, that are not what we would like them to be. But then, especially then, we have to show, impart, and share love. What do you think the church has to offer the world? Not simply the love when it's easy to love, but love in the difficult places. And this is a difficult place if there ever was one. But the lesson that comes through from this narrative is that even in the most difficult and sorrowful and pain-racked places, love can transform, love can break through. So the mother of the child who's yet still living, when faced with the option that Solomon affords them, is willing to do what? To be sacrificial in her love. So she's willing to love in a difficult circumstance, but also for that love to be selfless and sacrificial. More often than not, even though we'd like to think that it's unconditional love, we condition our love with the expectation that our love isn't going to really be sincere from us unless we get something back in return. But the kind of unconditional love that this mother was showing here is most reflective of the love that God shows us, because it is indeed unconditional. She had no expectation or guarantee that the child would come back to her. In fact, she thought it would go with the other mother. But her love was willing to sacrifice what certainly would have been ideal in her mind, having the child with her, for the life of the child. Selfish, selfless, sacrificial love looks a whole lot like the love that we have been shown by a loving God embodied in the person of Jesus the Christ. But selfless, sacrificial love is what we also are called upon, even in difficult circumstances like this, to show and to share. People like these two prostitutes, living their lives in the shadows and in the margins, are they worthy and do they merit our love? Babies like the two that are depicted in this story of questionable parentage by way of societal norms, are they worthy of our love? So we need to understand that the power of love in this moment breaks through a difficult circumstance with selflessness and sacrifice. And that's exactly the love that we've been shown. The difficult circumstances of our waywardness, the difficult circumstances of our orneriness, the difficult circumstances of our bad and poor choices, but nevertheless, God's love finds us. And in sacrificial selflessness, saves us. But along with being able to be sacrificial and selfless, something else about the love of this mother. It changes the circumstance. This voiceless, powerless woman living her life in the shadowy margins, a woman, if you will, of ill repute, by the power of her love, the circumstance, not only in the time, in terms of the time, the life of the child being saved, but the whole dilemma of these two grieving mothers, if you will, is changed by the power of love shown in this circumstance. And she speaks that love to the king. She's not afraid to, in other words, declare her love by saying, let the baby go with the other mother. She's not afraid to do that in the presence of the king because she realizes that the power of her love can change the circumstance. And beloved, I gotta say to you this morning, the power of our love can change circumstances. It can do it on an individualized scale, who we encounter and who we meet, and it can do it on a broader scale of how we bear witness in a world that oftentimes seems so loveless. And the king says, as he makes his decree, that he is doing what he's doing in response to the love of this seemingly powerless and voiceless woman. Isn't it amazing how our love can move mountains, how our love can change circumstances, how our love can transform situations? And before we get haughty and self-satisfied in thinking about it that way, no, understand that when we show selfless and sacrificial love, all we're doing is echoing, reflecting the godly love that has been shown to us. So, maybe what we celebrate on Mother's Day has as much to do with love in the difficult places, love in the hurtful places, love in the tragic places, love in the marginalized places. And maybe what we really celebrate is the power of love that we talk about on a day like today is the kind of power that can change a circumstance, change a situation, the kind of love that can speak, if you will, truth to power. That's the love that we're called to share. So don't just let it congeal around Mother's Day. Don't just let this be a mid-May sentiment. But understand the kind of power of love. These two mothers who would never be in anybody's cavalcade of Mother's Day wishes. These two mothers who were in a grievous and sorrowful situation. This one mother has enough love to transform the circumstance, enough love to preserve the life of this child. And it says at the end, when all heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw he had wisdom from God to administer justice. My friend Cornel West often says that justice is what love looks like in public. And so if we want to really reflect the love that we're celebrating today, the love that we certainly think of as being children of God, we need to show love as we relate to others on an individual basis. We need to show love by the patience, the compassion, the attentiveness that we give to others when those circumstances make themselves known to us. But we also need to show love in standing for, in speaking for, in working for the things that right the wrongs in the world around us. We also need to show love by making sure that people who live their lives in the margins and in the shadows, who are the voiceless and the powerless, like these two prostitutes, know that there is love that can transform, that there is love that can reach them where they are. So, even in a difficult place, even in a place that at the outset seems like it is void of any measure of love and it only has tragedy to occupy its space. Even there, love, seemingly powerless love, but love nevertheless can break through. Love that is selfless, love that is sacrificial, love that speaks truth to power. And love that is a reflection ultimately of justice. Oh, I want there to be flowers on Mother's Day. I want there to be cards on Mother's Day. I want there to be restaurant dinners on Mother's Day. I want there to be all the things that we equate with a beautiful day like this. What a blessing it is that even in the particularities of a Sunday morning, the sun is shining brightly and there's a Christmas to the air. So what a wonderful day to celebrate Mother's Day. But don't confine celebrating the love that we talk about on Mother's Day to simply those times when the flowers smell sweet and the sun is shining brightly. Remember that the love we celebrate right now is so powerful when it breaks through the darkness, when it heals the pain, when it rights the wrongs, when it preserves and saves life. Happy Mother's Day.